Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you for joining me on this April the 12th, 2014. It is Saturday. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Broadcasting for a delayed webcast in the United States of America. Thank you for coming to my website from all over the world. Ah, yes. Chick Corea in the background. Chick Corea, one of my favorite jazz musicians, playing a number called Toy Room. Very nice. And I kind of like it. It kind of like goes with the subject matter that I'm going to discuss with you today. Well, here we are. Nah, there's no further need to try to rectify anything, to correct something that's been wrong. It's not going to do any good at all. As a matter of fact, if you want to spend time worrying about how to rectify something that is unchallengeable, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's what I'm going to do. I want to make some sense out of it, right? Why argue? Somebody sent me a clip. I don't know whether it was a YouTube clip or what it was, but it was a clip of two black women. I think they were in their 40s. They appeared to be standing in a train station somewhere in a city, and they obviously both like singing gospel songs. They had very beautiful voices, and, you know, people just go anywhere and just start demonstrating their wares. But this was an interesting song because what the ladies did is they caught my attention because they were witnessing. Because, you know, we Christians are told we should share our faith, you know. But I'm going to tell you, they were singing a song that denoted the presence of God in their lives, and they were sharing with the other people that were listening that if they were willing to listen to the words and to humbly listen to this, the song was talking about extolling God. That's all the two ladies were doing. They weren't asking God to bring in their money tree. They weren't asking God to extend their lives. And they kind of looked like they were, well, not homeless, but they didn't dress up for it. They just said, let's go and sing unto God in the subway, and maybe people would hear them. And people began to leave money for them as if they were entertaining. There were some people that got the gist of what they were saying, and they walked off shaking their heads. Oh, these are theists, and they're trying to share with me, and they got the point. But it was a very good point, because what they were doing is they were extolling God. They were just saying, oh God, how we loved you. We're glad that you gave us all the food that we have, a nice place to live, and all the kindness and the love that you've ever shown us. We just lift you up. We thank you. That is a way to worship God. That is the way to do it. I loved it because it was in the train station. It was out in the open. And there's no need to attempt any rectification outside of extolling God. God, I love you. I will always love you. Have you ever asked God, listen to this, have you ever asked God for something with your whole heart, soul, and mind and everything? I have recently. I go to God, my Father, and I tell him about who I am, not based upon anybody else's recommendations of who they might think I am or who I might think I want to be, but only through who I really am. And I go to God about me. And I say, God, you know what I need. You know what would make me happy. I don't like that. I like this. Hey, Be careful what you ask God for. Be very careful what you ask God for. There's no further need to rectify anything when I ask God for that, and it is according to His will, according to His riches and glory, He's going to do it. Now, if He does it exactly, listen to me now, exactly what you've asked God for, and please don't ask God to do something that is against His nature to do it, because He's not going to do it. You know what a lot of people do? They say, oh God, give me a wife that looks like Halle Berry. Or give me a, you know, if you're a woman, give me a boyfriend that looks like Pastor John at 50. Nah, He's not going to do that. He's going to give you, listen to this, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. That's what He said, right? He said, ask Him to give you the desires of the heart. As a matter of fact, let me grab a book that I can attest to that by. Hold on, let me just roll over here. I'm always thinking about something after the fact. Give me a second. Here it is. Here it is right here. Yeah, you know, we have to think about it before we ask Him for it. There's a little thing, and you know, I'm starting to cut my library down, so the books that I used to have, I don't have them, but I try to keep the memorable ones. And I just want to share something with you, and so that you know the way that God works. Okay? All right. This is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says. I'm going to quote Him first. He says, let's see. In Luke chapter 7, verse 48, then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The Lord God is the only one that can forgive you of your sins, not people. And it's not a sin. Listen, it is a sin for us when we lust. And you know what lust is. Lust is when you just heap everything upon your own human nature, lust after it, manipulate people to get it, try to, you know, coerce people into being maybe seduced by you or seduced by the things that you have that supposedly makes you the person that you are. There's no need for me to attempt to rectify anything or to correct anything. We know what Jesus says. Now look what it says. Look what it says. It says in Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, I will lie down in sheep and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, this person that trusts in God is lying down, sleeping in peace. See, I was thinking, you know what? I don't want anything unpeaceful around me. Anything. Let me help you guys that's looking for persons to live with, for persons that can live with you. I mean, this verse is great. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Not the money, not the security of a nice hotel and security guards around you and all that kind of stuff. No. God always gives peace to His people. In Psalms 85 and 8, the psalmist writes and says, I will listen to what God the Lord would say. He promises peace to His people, His saints, to let them not return to folly. See, I don't want to go back to that. I ask God, please, Lord, that's all I want. Is that wrong? Can I ask that of you? If you ask that of God, He will send someone to you programmed exactly for you. I have never been so elated, especially in my senior years, elated and excited about the fact that God is going to do what He does resoutly, regardless of what anyone else thinks. And then when He does it to the praise of His glory, He wants us to extol Him like those two ladies were doing in the train station. They were extolling God. They weren't trying to put on a show. They didn't have instruments. It was just their voices. They had obviously practiced the song, but they were in harmony when it came to extolling God. And they weren't looking to get any money. People, I guess, started giving them dollars, I guess, because a lot of the people were moved to buy it. And it's a wonderful thing. When you see people all over the world just start singing about the glories of God, it would be like me being down in the train station as a white-haired man, and I just go down there and I start extolling God. Oh God, I'm sorry for the way I've lived wrong. I want to love everyone here. I want to lift up your name. I want to worship you. If the true believers just start doing that all over this country, not on a special date, not so the cameraman can come in your face. That is a way to witness. There's no further need to attempt to rectify anything in the church. The church is, listen, I met with a friend of mine. He came all the way from Florida with his dear wife. And I met with him and he told me, I won't tell you what he was going to do, but he was going to do something that would try to reach people, but it would only embarrass him, make him look like foolish. And I said, what you have to do at dinner out in Anaheim, I said, what you must do, my brother, is to find another way to do what God has told us to do. We cannot do it the way that the church has been telling us to do it, because they're just going out telling you to bring in more people that's going to feed into something. When you're doing something like I saw those ladies doing, they're not feeding into anything, because God would not want them to do that. God would just want them to glorify his name on the behalf of his own name. For God says, I am a jealous God, and you will have no other gods before me. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 2, it said, those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Did you hear that? Rest. One of my ex-members of the church, his daddy died. And Reggie is his name. Reggie's about 40, 45, something like that, 45, 46. And Reggie's kind of ill himself. Well, he contacted me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he said, my daddy is dying. And I said, talk with your daddy. And I drove out to Long Beach where his daddy lived, and he was convalescing on his bed, and I spoke to him about death and dying. And it was a wonderful thing. The man said to me, I'm ready to leave here. I'm not attached to anything. And then I says, now God will give you peace. You rectify everything with him. Don't tell me anything. I'm not going to say a prayer with you. If you want to talk with God or talk at him, and because I don't know what is your nature or your way of doing it, I go directly to the Lord. Every time that I may sense that is something wrong with me, I ask God, what have I done? Did I bring this on me? Did I do something wrong? Did I lust? Did I crave? Did I do that? Did I offend you? I'm not thinking about a church building. I'm not thinking about a denomination. I'm not thinking about a bunch of holier-than-thou individuals. I want to do this on my own, because the Bible tells me that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to God of what we have done in our bodies, whether good or bad. So that means that every human being, this if you're a theist, you believe this, every human being that is ever born, one day after we live, or if God comes back and blows up our world right in the middle of its chaotic disposition, whatever state we find ourselves in, we will see God face to face, and we will give an account as to how we lived and what was our motives for lives. So often I find myself saying that I love everybody, but when I see everybody, I know it's almost impossible to love them all, because some people turn me, the Hades, off. Just turn me off altogether. And I'm not going to let that get to me. And you know why I'm not? Because I have to wait on God. That's what I have to do. When I go to Psalms chapter 34, verses 15 through 18, a lot of verses in the book of Psalms, but It's kind of nice. It reads like this: the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. See, God's not listening to unrighteous people, people that are out there doing foul things. I was talking with a young man, and he said he's going to a party with some friends of his. And, you know, I try to talk these youngsters out of going to those kinds of things, but you can't do it. Man, they're in their young 20s. They want to go out. And he said, he told me, man, the party's not even going to begin till midnight, and we're going to be popping to 7 in the morning. I just said to myself, Lord, have mercy. What a waste of energy. But I told him, I said, make sure you retain your mind and wherever you are, and be careful who's around you and who you're around. Because the Lord's eyes are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. That's what God wants to do with evil men, cut off the memory of them. I was trying to tell a young man about that singer, Michael Jackson. And I was telling the young man, no, I truly believe that that man was a pedophile because of the amounts of money that he had given the families of those children. If you're innocent, you don't pay him off. No, it's too big. You want to satisfy everybody. I don't care what the child said afterwards. They can pay him another $100,000 to say I lied, because people are just taking money from other people. But I know what a person is. It's one thing that I've never done. I don't mess with children. Ever. That is decrepit. But I was saying to the young man, I said, you have to know about these things before you idolize individuals like that, because God knows about it. And the young man didn't want to hear it. He was outraged. He said, well, my mother liked this singer, and so this singer had to be right. But I said, you know, it doesn't matter about who likes who. It's just like if a person likes me, and if they don't know me, I said, you know me. I hope you like me as a human being, as a person, but I'm not a deceiver in any way, and I wouldn't manipulate anyone like that. The verse is going and says that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's why. I'm a man that believes in what God is saying to us and to our hearts about loving him and loving everyone else. And we live that out. Now, let me bring some classification into this, because we live in a world where people don't live the way that we do, dress the way we do. I remember when the skinny jeans came out. I said, why are these people wearing skinny jeans? I have a couple of pair of jeans that are very thin. They're very nice. They look better on me when I wear certain shirts than the baggy jeans, than the full-size jeans. Now, somebody comes up to me and says, well, you shouldn't wear skinny jeans or anything like it, because you want to be as far as you can. I said, who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? Does it tell me in the Bible that I shouldn't wear these kinds of clothes? Well, it says a man shouldn't wear anything that pertains to a woman. These aren't women's pants. These are pants that you don't like. See what I mean? So I would invite the person to mind your own business. Don't look at the way I'm dressed, how I'm dressed. Look at you. As a matter of fact, Jesus put a good classifier on that. He said, before you look at the mote that's in your brother's eye, cast the beam out in your own. But people don't like people to talk to them like that. People don't like people to be upfront with them. People like people to accept their opinions about themselves. No. I was telling another young man, I said, I don't accept you based upon your opinion. If you don't have adequate knowledge of the real, why should I listen to you? You're ignorant. That's what I told him. I was just having a conversation with him. I wasn't calling him ignorant, because he is anything but that. But I said, you would be ignorant. Your peers would call you that. And he was just livid. And I said, I know, because you haven't taken the time to think about it. Your word is your bond. Your word is the mantra by which you live by. I recall when teaching in world religions, I'm teaching them that the indigenous native tribes had very close relations with each other because people were obligated to keep those customs that were so widely accepted by the tribe. Well, we have disavowed all those customs. We've thrown them away, cast them aside. It's like when I was a pastor of a church. All those Sundays, those many Sundays that I preach, and I have a lot of stuff up on YouTube. You can go and see me preach. You can hear, man, all that word put together. And every time I go and listen to my old YouTube clips on YouTube, I need to put a new face picture up there for me, but I'm not that interested. Why? Doesn't make any difference. But every time I go to my YouTube clips and I hear me preach, I still believe what I preach, at least most of it, 99% of it, I believe. But some of the things that I listen to that are questionable, and then I ask myself, where did I get that from? See, listen to me. I wouldn't ask you to do something that I have to do also. I had to ask myself, where did I get that idea from? Where did it come from? Why did I push that on the people? Did I really push that on the people because I understood it to mean that way, or that I felt that if everybody did this, that everybody would be better people? What makes better people? When I think about, oh man, you know, that crazy preacher in Kansas who was protesting all the gay funerals and everything like that, then he finally dies, and about 1,000 gay people showed up protesting his death, saying that he's going straight to hell for the things that he did. Now, both groups had a subjective analysis about things and had strong views about it. God knows that old Baptist guy's heart. I don't. I think what he was doing was outrageous. I think that it was unloving. I think that it was so unlike God that to even mention the name of Jesus and you mentioning yourself as being one of his followers was abominable to me. And not just because I have gay friends, and not just because I may have a proclivity to that lifestyle in some way or another, but because it was just debauched and ignorant on that preacher's behalf to do that. And I have a right, see, to say, I'm not going to agree with someone because they're the same denomination as me. I'm not going to agree with someone because they go to the same worship place that I go to. I will agree with someone that has been, and let me use the right words, moved, motivated, communicated to in an a priori way by the same God that has spoken to me. Once, because God would not give me some kind of subjective answer to make me right and then give you another one that would make you right and that would contradict me. That's not the God that I worship. I don't worship a God that tells you one way to be right objectively and for me to be subjectively right in my way. I think the Bible puts it like this. He says, I am the Lord and I what? I change not. The Lord changes not. Man, I you know what? I met a lady and we were talking. She was at a place getting ready to meet a friend of hers. And I just struck up a conversation with her and we were talking. And she said, after we talked about 2 or 3 minutes, and I was in the company of another person, but I broke off from that person and just wanted to cheer her up and see her smile. And she said, thank you so much. I really appreciate speaking with you. And I said, I'm glad that we could just toss it around a little bit and be that way. And that is what the love of this life is really all about. And that's what God wants of us. This is what he demands of us as we live for him. I'm looking out the Lucy Coleman studio window right now, and I'm looking at my neighbor. You've heard me speak about him. His name is Dave. He lives on the corner across the street. He'll speak with, man, I just said, oh, how hypocritical. He will speak with everyone that he sees of a different nationality other than African-American male. And whenever he talks with an African-American male, it always ends up in some kind of an argument. You see, he's a Jamaican man, and he has in his mind, and I'm not talking about him, he told me this, he sees himself as an island man and not a black man, but as a Brit that lived in a British colony in Jamaica. And so he feels superior to other people. It's very interesting. I was speaking with someone and I was telling them I've never felt superior to anyone. I feel that I am no better than anyone, no worse than anyone, and I want to love it. Anyone that I come in contact with, give me the opportunity to have that conversation with them. But I'm not going to choose the people that I want to interact with. As far as that goes, I would say to God, show me the individuals that would get more of a kick out of talking with me than being bored with somebody that's going to waste their time. See, there's no further need to attempt rectification. You can't rectify. You can't, as I put down, you can't put things right in the church that's gone completely wrong. You can't correct the pulpit when people behind the pulpit's motives are completely different. You can't remedy or bring about a sound solution to a cause if you know the remedy won't work already. You cannot convert someone's mind. See, that's why I put the definition there, our cause to assume a certain characteristic. No. There's no further need to do that. People, you know what? I tell, because I talk to these young people and I'm learning so much. Did you know that they have this idea that their opinion, I got to say it, that their opinion weighs just as much as your opinion, even if you're a scholar in the area, they have the right to wager their opinion and to disagree with you. And when you try to tell these young people that that is not the way to find out what reality is, and they would say back to you, well, that's just your opinion, and you're entitled to it, so why don't you accept mine like I accept yours? And I said, because yours is bogus. And he says, you shouldn't talk to me like that. I have just as much a right to wager my opinion as you do. And I told him, I don't deny that. You have the right, but your opinion is bogus, and it makes you bogus. And in the future, as you grow up, and if you make statements like that and live like that, the outcome will be bogus and bodacious. The young man got extremely angry, and I said, good. Now you're feeling what the use of the language would do. But since you've grown up in dreamland, believing in all of these fantasies that they've told you existed, when you talk to me, I am going to talk about flat out reality. See, there's no further need to attempt to rectify anything. Learn what the English language is all about. You know what I did? I said, you got time to ride with me? And we went to a huge department store here in Los Angeles, one of the richest in the city, and where you buy a pair of undershorts for a man, you can pay $27. Okay. So, you know, one of those places. It's not the bargain basement. And the gentleman was telling me that he was trying to get a job in an establishment like that. And immediately I shut up, because I knew that he would take my opinion as my opinion. And so I had to show him something.
Hold on, Richard.
So to make a long story short, you see, you have to here again, you have to choose a methodology that's going to work, where you're going to get through, because we're on different levels. And as we are on different levels, being on those different levels, staying on those different levels means simply that what we have to do is we have to come to a recognition of what is before we can systematically try to help someone. And I think that I've said it in this 30-minute cast. I don't have to say it that long. Choose, like I was telling the friend of mine from St. Petersburg, choose a methodology that is going to, because you're talking two different languages. You're talking two different languages. I just had a young man come to visit me, and he asked me a question, and I did not know what he meant by that. And I said, your nomenclature of doing life is completely different from ours. And sometimes I feel trapped, but I feel elated at the same time when I learn new qualifiers to be qualified myself by and all of that. And it's always a great thing to do, you know, just to have that kind of, just to have that kind of insight. Okay, I hope that this 30-minute webcast has helped you. Like I said, get it right with you. Get it right with you. Get it right with God. And it'll be all right. Okay, take care. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.